AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
All the world is a rainbow birthday cake, so take a piece, but not too much.
I know somebody who likes that rainbow birthday cake.
I know somebody who's going to taste the rainbow on Friday night at LGBT Pride Night.
I know somebody who's going to taste it as well, and he's sitting right across from me. Oh, no.
What's popping, everybody? It's PMS.
Oh, no. Is the machine dead?
Did the machine die?
I don't know.
On a 2 Edmano Tuesday. 2 Edmano. 2 2 Edmano. I think you heard Vic the Brick's voice. He's a little under the weather, so we'll not be playing the 2 Edmano La Tuya Tuesday game on the Petros and Money Show. Is it broken, Matt?
I don't know. We're trying to sort it out right now.
It was working in the other room.
It was.
Right? So it couldn't just have died like that.
Oh, no. Maybe no machine.
No machina?
Ronnie says it's potted up. It looks like I got levels everywhere.
Ronnie's adamant, saying that it's not his fault. Of course, for you and I, you know, we generally just go to blame Ronnie. It's kind of the catcher.
It's usually my go-to.
Right.
I got levels right there, Ronnie. Bang.
Right? Trying to figure it out. But while we try to figure it out, why don't we promote this? It's a huge week in the world of great sports talk as we start out today. Dodgers-Mets, Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates at 6. First pitch, 7:10. And you know the 6th annual PMS Chevy Summer Tour. Is it like the Beats, Matt, where we didn't change the batteries?
No.
The Beats!
Oh, God, no, my Beats.
It's because you guys didn't change the batteries. PMS Chevy Summer Tour is back, and it's this week. We have two huge events this week on Thursday and Friday, and we have a late start to the week because of the holiday. We'll be out at the Slide Bar, Matt.
That is our public event. Friday is private. Public event, 6th annual Petros & Money Chevy Summer Tour. You said it. You qualify to win that 2019 Chevy Silverado, and at each and every stop, instant winner. Our man Henrik from Barbecues Galore is giving away a $500 Daniel Boone Choice Grill from Barbecues Galore at every single stop. Plus, we got gift cards and prizes with a whole host of great sponsors that are going to be part of every single tour stop.
That's right, Matt. Like, of course, Chevrolet. We give away the truck. It's a sweet truck. Barbecues Galore, which is not just a barbecue aisle.
A barbecue store.
Sweet James Burger, the Dead Spirit of Justice at 800-881-2021 at sweetjames.com. A great person and lawyer.
He'll likely show up with his t-shirt bazooka, tchotchkes like stress balls, lip balm, beard combs, and a host of other things that he's passed out in the past. Koozies.
Sunglasses. Save time. Check in online with our friends at Supercuts and their mobile app at supercuts.com.
Come cut your hair. They did it last year at a tour stop.
We always have an academic angle because we want people to be educated.
Azusa Pacific University, graduating game changer since 1899.
And that's why we tell you that the train station in Fullerton is right by the Slide Bar, and that train station stop in Fullerton right there is what populated that northeastern Orange County area. A bitch! Doesn't work, huh?
No.
Vista Paint.
Love the Vista Paint ladies.
Paint the town blue. You're really starting to stoke a lot of curiosity about the ladies from Vista Paint, Matt, when you say that.
I hope they come out. People get to meet the Vista Paint ladies that we already met.
You can meet them at VistaPaint.com. Also, there is the chef.
Chef Merito. The spices are in very convenient to hold plastic containers that you put on your shelf. And then you sprinkle on your food. But the chef, well.
That's in you, yeah.
Darn right it is.
And the Kawasaki, Matt.
Come to the PMS Summer Tour to enter for a chance to win. How about this? A Kawasaki Ninja ZX6R636 and find out how Kawasaki lets the good times roll. That is exciting. motorcycle, a ninja, the most desired mode of transportation of our youth. When the ninja came out, people freaked out, man.
It was pretty cool. There's no doubt about it. Now, Matt, I just got a text from what seems to be a tech expert in the 909 area.
Yeah, they're going to solve this for us.
Yeah. The guy says, what do you mean it just stopped? That's how things die. Thank you.
But it's not, because we
our instant replay machine.
We were just using it in the other room for our pre-show podcast, which,
remember, you must
subscribe to separately.
Yeah, we were just using it for
PMS
before the show podcast. We were just doing it.
So
talking about swimming and cramping up. Now, how bad on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is full blame and 1 is basic exoneration, how bad do you want to blame Ronnie?
13.
It's a very honest answer. That's a very honest answer. That's very honest.
Because I don't want to believe that our machine is dead. It's either, if it's on this end, we got major issues.
It's on the board, guys.
So machine is fine.
Machine is fine.
Machine survives, has nothing to do.
What's wrong with the board?
With the old Norge crapping out.
This is really pulling back the curtain, but there's a routing issue and you can't route anything.
Gotcha.
I've got an update.
What is the update, Ronnie?
So I just came back from our fancy crack engineering staff, and it's building-wide. So the issues that we had a couple of weeks ago have represented itself, and so the routers are starting to go haywire.
Now, what about Rogan
and
Rodney?
It's affecting...
did their soundboard work?
It did.
Okay.
It
so
did.
Nobody told us about this at all until we just started right now.
Well...
and you're giving us this breathless answer.
This just started right now.
Son of a...
I'm out of breath.
Well, I think it's BS, and I'm with you, Matt. I think it's Ronnie's fault. I don't think it's Billy White.
Way to go,
but
Ronnie.
I am glad that our machina,
the old Norge, is still alive,
is working. Now, Cates, does that mean you can't play sound off your computer if we want to hear Rob Pelinka talking about Heath Ledger and how he hooked Kobe up with Heath Ledger?
See, that's how the greats become greats. You interact with other greats, and
yes,
you try to borrow.
But it was a year ago we had this story.
That's why when I saw it today.
We had this story. It was off Laker Nation, and Pelinka told this story, and we figured out the dates right away. I think somebody told me on the secret textosa line, and we just figured it out. It was all over the place. Everybody knew that there's no way Kobe could have met Heath Ledger after seeing The Dark Knight, because Heath Ledger, well, he had passed long before the release of the movie.
This became the pull quote from the, like, 5,000-word long form, looks like 2 months of research piece from Baxter Holmes at ESPN.com. And it's like, wait a minute. No,
we had this.
This is old S.
Yeah, this is old. Now, I didn't know the Mo Wagner stuff. Now, most people have gotten...
Well, there's a lot of goodies.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. You would call them goodies, I guess, if you're negative. Baxter Holmes is the writer who's been working on this like Cervantes' Quixote, and it's been years in the making, so many years in the making that a lot of people that worked for the Lakers when he started weren't working for the Lakers after he started. And it's this long-form ESPN piece. And if you're like us, daily L.A. sports people or daily L.A. sports listeners or interactors or people that follow this stuff every day, almost none of these stories are new. Almost none. But
I would say probably 80% of them we have discussed.
Heard before. I didn't know about the Mo Wagner stuff.
That's freaking magic. That is, remember he did this to Luke Walton,
right,
Luke's the one that wanted to sign ball handlers and guys that would ease up on LeBron's, you know, usage rate. That's what he wanted. And Luke's like, what the F? No, I didn't. I wanted Brooke Lopez to stay. Mo Wagner, that was Josh Hart. I brought him in. I was like, hey, what's up with this Amari Spellman guy? And he was like, you don't want to deal with that. So that's why we decided to go Mo Wagner. And all the scouts are like, wait, what?
Yeah, there's a lot of, like we talked about last week with Magic Johnson talking, just a lot of incongruities. And if you want to do what Baxter Holmes is doing as a media person and paint a picture of a dysfunctional organization that is, and I think this was in a headline, the crown jewel of the NBA. If you want to paint that picture, there are almost too many colors available. There is so much to unpack because it's been so much piled on so much over the years, and they have so many people willing to talk to them, albeit anonymously, about how much of a dysfunctional place it was while they worked there. It's a really interesting read. Most thousandth and thousand word sports articles aren't worth reading, but if you really follow this closely, it's a really interesting read because it's a lot of confirmation bias if you listen to this show over the years.
When it closes and says, since Dr. Buss is passing, the Lakers are tied with the Knicks for the most losses in the league. And as you read the, I believe Cates has printed it out for us, 13
I believe that
pages.
329 losses is the very end. Jerry Buss died in February 2013 and the sixth season since, during which Jeannie Buss has principally been in charge of the organization. Our old friend Jeannie, the Lakers, 329 losses are tied with the New York Knicks for the most in the NBA.
It's the, is the big brain folks like to call it, penultimate paragraph.
And here is the...
and it certainly explains the previous 13 pages.
Yes, and then the final paragraph, Matt,
with the haymaker.
The overhand right from another one of these anonymous sources. I feel like everyone that's no longer there, as sad as it is that they're no longer there, it's a blessing, one former staffer said. It's not a good place to be. It's not what Dr. Buss wanted it to be. So it's got to be one of the more scathing, excoriating articles I've ever read about the Lakers
franchise.
I mean, Plaschke's just jabbing them. This is like when all those soldiers went up and the army of the dead just overwhelmed the Dothraki army on the first charge.
Even that last paragraph
just swallowed up.
That last paragraph is something that we discussed when Luke Walton, I believe, mutually decided with the Lakers that he would no longer be their head coach. We said, in what world did we ever think that Luke would be happy to say, you know what? Thank God I got out of L.A. and coaching the Lakers so I could move to Sacramento and coach the Kings. Thank God I was able to manage stepping away while landing another job at the Kings, a team that we had been talking about, their owner Vivek Ranadive and Vlade Divac, as just... It was like an episode of Benny Hill at that place, and people were saying, hey, Luke's better off in Sacramento.
People are saying that about Monty Williams, that he's better off in Phoenix.
Same deal.
People talk about that being an absolute mess. So I don't know if you're a person that wants to defend the Laker front office and you're a Magic person, I don't know where you feel this article leaves all that. If you're a person that wants to...
Do you feel like there's still Magic people out there that want to defend him?
I feel like there's Magic people in here that want to defend him. And I feel like there's people, you see it on Twitter.
Outside of personal friends. I mean, like, I'm talking fans, on Twitter.
Yes,
like people,
I believe there are. There are still people.
It seems like it's awfully hard to do.
You heard Kendrick Perkins say it on the show. I understand why Magic did that. He didn't like how he was being jerked around, and Magic didn't speak his mind. Pat Riley defended Magic. Now, these are people that personally know him, but you'll see it on Twitter, too. It's just like the Kobe thing. There are people that Magic could never do any wrong. They believe everything that comes out of his mouth. And it is interesting to me reading this article, Matt, because the Magic stuff reared its head a few times. And we are complicit in the LA media. We are not. We talked about it on our show, even though the Dodgers own half the station. Frank McCourt owns the parking lot, guys. That was always in the deal. That was in plain black and white ink. I'm not a real estate mogul or an expert on anything, but I know
he's still making a boatload of cash from the Dodgers.
And that was part of the deal when the deal was made to wrestle Frank McCourt's ownership away. And the question was asked adroitly by Bill Plaschke in that very first press conference that we covered, and Magic stood up because no one's going to say anything to Magic and had the big cheesy smile on his face and was like, Frank McCourt's no part of this. He's not any part of this. You know, almost like a child.
And everybody looked at Bill like, how dare you?
Right.
Why would you pepper stand cast and forcing Magic to stand up before it was his turn to talk?
And other than Matt and I being snarky on the radio, you never heard anything about it ever again because Magic said it wasn't so. And it's not good enough. It's just not good enough in 2019, and you read a lot of that in the article. You can't show up once every 2 weeks and then show up and start mother effing
everybody
in the office. It's a bad scene.
And that's why I'm wondering, you know, not people that have a relationship with Magic that will defend him to the death because he obviously helped make their careers and make them money, or they're his friends, whatever it may be. I'm talking about because he's done damage to the team that these fans love. Like, it is clear that he has done what could end up being long-term damage to this team that they love, that they wake up every morning and check the newspaper to see if there's any great news about their Lakers.
There's more Magic dissent, I think, than he's ever experienced in his life. But that doesn't mean there's still not a bunch of people that are defending him. And I think that's making this a bigger problem because Magic is going to try to answer to this. You know, Magic doesn't like being talked about negatively. Magic doesn't like being portrayed as a guy that screwed this stuff up. That's why he went on First Take the other day and ignited the whole...
Push blame to Rob Pelinka.
Exactly.
Wasn't me, it was Rob.
Yeah, and oh, I'll take the blame for this, but I won't take the blame for this, 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 and this. And it's all revisionist, contradictory BS. But so Magic's going to have to respond to this and talk about the people that had panic attacks and all the different things that are alleged in this Baxter Holmes article. And we're going to go around the media carousel with this story again. And this is something we talked about with the Vogel thing when he went on First Take last week. We said, when does this end? It doesn't. Every time there's going to be an article, Magic's going to feel like he has to defend himself. And we're going to go all the way around this over and over again. But you're right. I think Laker fans are pissed at him. Ultimately, if I was a Laker fan, I'm pissed at Jeannie, who created this. You know, Jeannie created this.
Yeah, she could have hit the reset button when Magic stepped down. Fired Rob. Magic's gone. Hire competent people like every other 29, the other 29 teams in the NBA have. Competent, experienced president, general manager, director of pro personnel, all of those folks. Just set them in there and operate like the other teams operate and move forward, but she didn't. Instead, she empowered Rob Pelinka, and that's why Magic's so pissed.
Can't you make an argument, though, that he tried to come in and change things and shake it up and tell the people in the staff meeting, hey, if you're going to make mistakes and you're just going to sit here around, and that's not okay.
That's cool if you come to work every day, but if you come to work once every 2 weeks and you mother up everybody and tell everybody that I have a stack of resumes and everybody, that's not
a 2019. People in different ways.
You can't work like that in 2019.
Here's someone who is regularly cited as a brilliant businessman, and I'm not saying that I have some sort of remarkable business acumen, but it does seem like it is a rudimentary operating procedure in the world of business. If you take over a company or you are hired at the top of that company, that you take inventory, you take equity in terms of who your employee capital happens to be before you walk into a meeting and say, hey, all of you that have been working here for so long, I don't know any of you. I don't know how hard you work. I don't know which one of you are good at your job, which ones of you aren't, but you're all screwed because I've got a stack of resumes sitting in my office. 1,000 strong.
And the truth is, you don't know anybody.
He knows nobody when he says that. Not a single person.
That's a lie. It's an intimidating... if you do have a stack of resumes, great. But you don't. It's a lie. Like, I hate that.
I don't think he hired one person. I don't think Magic... There was no media report of, hey, Magic hired blank to run the scouting department. Magic hired fill-in-the-blank basketball from the New Orleans Pelicans to take over the advanced scouting operation. He hired so-and-so from the Spurs to run their international. There was never one press release, and we all get them. They send them to our work addresses, email addresses. When the Lakers have a presser or a press release, I always open it to see what it is. There was never one that said Magic Johnson announces the hiring of blank. So if there were 1,000 resumes on that desk, they're still there.
No,
resumes are still sitting there.
It's a bad look for him. And he'll try to answer for it, and I'm sure Stephen A. will fight for him, and he'll have people that fight for him, and there'll be fans that fight for him and athletes that fight for him. But he's done more damage, I think, than anybody could have ever imagined to the Laker brand in the last 40 days or however long it's been. I think it's been catastrophic what he's done.
If he had not stepped down... I think this is the key to the point you just made. If he had not stepped down the way he did, none of this would be happening. If at the end of the year he held a presser and said, Jeannie and I talked, I thought I could do this. I have not been able to give it the amount of time that, you know, I still want to help the Lakers out. I'm still going to be a consultant, but it's important for her to get another president of basketball operations in here. None of this would happen.
There would be no blood in the water.
No one would have gone, exactly. No one would have gone in to figure out Magic. Okay, he said someone's backstabbing him. It's clear it's Rob. Now let's get in and start digging around on that storyline.
And then
this
guy's long-form piece that he was working on. I mean, can you imagine the boner this guy got, Baxter Holmes, when Magic dismounted like that? If it's true that he's really been working on this piece for the last 18 months, and then in the last month before your piece is going to come out, Magic resigns like that and goes on Stephen A., and then the Ty Lue thing happens before that. And you have this whole media round robin that's going to happen again. Now your article is part of that narrative, and Magic's going to answer to that on Stephen A. You know he is.
If you're Magic, though, at least you can say, hey, I may be a bad leader in this case with the Lakers. I'm a good business guy, great business guy. At least I'm not a liar like the other guy.
I don't think that works. I think because the Lakers are a mess. That's my hope. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the fans that had, like, David Vassay that had Magic jerseys in their foyer, I've got to believe are freaking pissed. They are pissed that this guy ruined their team. And look, they can, Genie can have a team-wide edict that nobody speaks to the media, that we will be quiet, save a press conference for our draft pick, press conference for our free agent signings, and that is it. This is what's going to happen. Until they try to control the story, there will be another 10 of these that come out because it's clear people are pissed and they want to talk.
It's an unfurling ball of yarn that is never running out. It is really, really amazing. But our favorite was from a year ago, the Rob Pelinka Batman conversation. Now, any of you douchebags trying to text us like you were a year ago, Kobe got a screener. No.
No, he didn't.
No. The timing doesn't work out. Okay, we're just going to have to accept the fact that the dinner between Kobe and opioid Heath Ledger never took place. It didn't take place. Rob Pelinka has been trying to make the meeting take place forever.
A lie. And he didn't misremember.
It is a lie.
He just lied about it.
And finally, because of this article coming out, we have the audio of something that we discussed at length for 2 or 3 days. At this time last year.
I remember just a really quick story. There was one time when Kobe, who I worked with for 18 years, was going back to play in Madison Square Garden, and he had just seen The Dark Knight. Obviously, you guys saw that movie. And he's like, hey, hook me up with dinner with Heath Ledger, because he got so locked into that role. I want to know how he mentally went there. And so he had dinner with Heath, and he talked about how he locks in for a role, and Kobe used some of that in his game.
Great.
Against the Knicks in terms of mental preparation. And so I know for you, your craft, your art,
that's
how
you've
gotten to be number one, and then how you stay there is going to be inspiring.
That, I believe, is The Rock playing the role of Teddy Bruschi while Stephen A. talked about the impact of Hunter Henry and Derek Johnson in the Chargers-Chiefs.
It's like,
Thursday Night Showdown. Uh-huh.
Isn't it enough that you are Kobe's agent and you have this job? Do you have to make stuff up? Do you have to make stuff up to seem cooler in front of all the basketball players?
Well, with that haircut, I think he does. I think he's like, everybody's looking at my hair. I better tell a cool story.
It's not a good enough reason, Matt.
I got a weird forehead. It's all frozen from the Botox.
I think that's
gotta tell a story.
Bad example for the kids, Matt.
You know, I worked with Kobe for 18 years. Thanks, Rob. You worked with Kobe for 18 years. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Doesn't qualify you for this position. Position that you have just because you were Kobe's agent for 18 years, it does not mean that you deserve to be a president of basketball operations of the Lakers. It's not helping you.
Hey, Rob, I want to hook up with Heath Ledger. Oh, he's dead. Okay, well, I guess the meeting's not going to happen.
Rob, either you're going to make it happen or you're fired. That is not, I don't like excuses around here.
You think Pelinka just found a random Australian guy with a blonde, threw a blonde wing on him?
Well, he doesn't know that just, he's dead.
Threw him in there like, yeah, I played that role. I really looked it in, didn't I?
Crocky.
I mean,
it's Kobe Bryant.
I believe it. I believe the people are idiots. I mean,
how did I do it? I went to the darkest place in my past, and I just kept rekindling that feeling inside me. Is that right? You know, it's a more logical explanation, believe it or not, than Kobe got a screener of The Dark Knight 6 months in advance.
Yeah, it's not done. It's just not done that way.
Yeah, and by the way, it doesn't line up with the timeline. Kobe was going to Madison Square Garden and said, can you hook up a dinner in New York with me?
Yeah, you're all douchebags. You're trying to apologize for Kobe.
And Pelinka.
Who's the worst guy here? Genie, Kobe, or Pelinka?
Yes.
Or Magic?
Yes.
Or Rambis?
Oh, there's little Kurt Rambis in there.
And how about Linda Rambis?
Linda's shadow owner, and she loves it.
Loves the shadow owner.
Loves it.
Well, hey, Linda, we'll play you your shadow soundbite next. Answer to this, Matt. Petros and Money Show's on the air. We're happy to be here. David Vassay is going to get us up on the Dodgers' dominant performance since the last time we talked to him. Bachelorette Report, word number song of the day. How was your weekend? Featuring Ronnie Fascio. and a special guest in our final hour, Matt. One of our favorite people who's going to be all over the news in the next few weeks.
UCLA awarded the number one overall seed in the NCAA men's baseball tournament, trying to make their way to the College World Series in Omaha. That will get started on Friday, and they will have their regional at Jackie Robinson Stadium against the College of Omaha to get started.
Gotta go through Omaha to get to Omaha.
In their pod is also LM Loyola Marymount and Baylor.
Let's go Lions.
In that pod, and then the Super Regional will be here as well. They win that, and they make their way back to the World Series. And
they're hating on the West Coast, Matt.
They are, and Savage going to get into that.
We'll discuss it with him. So that's an interesting thing. But Matt, you got to answer for this tweet. We both do. It was tweeted at the Twitters that I control mostly. At Matt Money Smith is Matt. At Peterson Money and at the old P is me, and they're both at me from a guy named Pete Durbin.
Oh, old Pete from Arizona. Thank you for your service, Pete. He is angry.
Attribution is dead. And not surprisingly, you boys fall for it. Evil four-letter hit job fits your narrative. Pete.
This is like the ninth story to come out. Bill Plaschke did one.
Fits your narrative.
Has there ever been a more Laker-friendly reporter than Ramona?
Ramona Shelburne?
Yes.
Well, that's the problem.
And she put out a hit piece.
This has splintered all the Laker friendlies because the Laker friendlies all used to be friendly toward all the Laker people. But now they got to pick. Are you friendly toward Kobe and his agent? Are you friendly toward Magic and the history? Are you friendly toward Jeannie and her family? Are you friendly toward Mitch and Jim? Are you friendly toward Joey and Jesse? Who are you friendly toward? I'm a Joey Jesse guy.
With the exception of Stephen A. taking up for Magic, there has been zero media members.
Kendrick Perkins.
He took up for, I don't know if he necessarily defended Magic. He defended what he did. He said, hey, that guy's got to protect his name.
I take your point.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why he did it.
I take your point. Magic's going to get a lot of support amongst other basketball players.
Former players, sure.
And people like that. Kyle Kuzma, who was hung out as shark meat bait. Still wouldn't say anything about Magic badly in his exit interview, and that's the only guy that they really put out there, Operation Human Shield, because, and that's another thing.
Yeah, and then when they got the fourth pick, Pelinka swoops in and starts talking to the media. Well, clearly this is an asset that we can now use. We're very excited. Easy, Pelinka. You weren't going to talk to anyone if you stayed at 11.
And that's the other one of the damning things in this article that we've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks now. Where's the accountability? Where's Jeannie? Where's the interview? Where's the calming of the Laker Nation about the dysfunction in the front office? And I think that you got that national picture. We live in this locally, and we've done all these stories, but to see it all laid out like that very well by Baxter, you get that national picture of the at least perception of dysfunction, and then you get real quotes about the existence of dysfunction, and you go, wow, this all fits together pretty well. Sorry, Pete.
It's the way the world works now. People do not want to put their name on record. If you have multiple staffers, assistant coaches, front office members.
Seems like enough.
Yeah. I'm going to say I'm okay with that. Are they upset, former assistant coaches, because they got blown out and feel like they were scapegoats for a season? Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's an axe to grind there. Maybe there's some personal bias. But it certainly seems like between the Sam Amick story, the Baxter Holmes story, the Plaschke story.
All the Plaschke.
The Broderick Turner story.
All the Plaschke paper cuts. Here. Gotcha.
I'm pretty comfortable. I'm pretty comfortable feeling like Baxter has captured the current sentiment that is circulating through El Segundo.
Now, you're like me and many, 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 probably all of our listeners. This is not the first sports article you have ever read. And I know for myself, when I read an article on sports or something I feel like I know something about a little bit that we talk about on the air, I always read that article to see who benefits. Who does it benefit that this article is out there? Why are they trying to disparage this guy? Who does it help? And I always read articles like that, and it's a very good way. Whenever I go to colleges and talk to kids that are learning to be media people or whatever, I teach them to try to read articles in that way. Who's the source? Who do you think the source might be? Who does the article benefit? I did not, and sometimes you read an article and you say, oh, this is BS. This is total propaganda. This is BS. I read this thing top to bottom. this was excoriating and wonderfully well done, and this guy crossed all his T's and dotted all his I's.
If there's,
I thought he did a pretty good universal job.
There's no individual currently employed by the Lakers that benefits. None. The only way, I mean, if you really want to get through the conspiracy.
That's what I'm saying, Matt. There was so much to it.
Normally,
you know?
Hey, Magic, here's the piece. Well, Magic benefits. Magic doesn't look like someone who was asleep at the switch when he was supposed to be in the office every day, traveling internationally, scouting players, going to colleges to figure out who they're going to draft. That was the benefit, like you said, of what he did on First Take and then a follow-up conversation with Broderick Turner.
He's trying to protect Magic. Yeah. He's upset. He doesn't like people saying bad things about him because, you know what, he's not used to it.
He's got
to
be beloved. That's the business he's in. It's motivational, executive-level speaking. That's really what he does, and he puts his name, he attaches his name to local businesses because of the cachet attached to it. And it works, and I do not begrudge him that as his main source of income. That's fine. But as you just said, the only people that benefit from this piece are the other 29 teams in the NBA because they are not operating. They do not operate in this manner. They are not as dysfunctional as the, as Baxter put it, the one-time crown jewel of this league, of the association. I mean, this was, if you were to rank, if you go back 10 years and you're ranking, hey, what's the best franchise in the NBA? It's number one. And it was number one for 30 straight years when Dr. Buss was alive and they were winning more championships and going to more finals than anybody else.
In a different time in the world of basketball, obviously.
You're right. It's changed. This is the only one left. This is the only mom and pop shop left in the NBA.
And I've spent a lifetime in the media in LA like you have and Kate's has covering the LA Lakers and their daily movements. But nowadays, in our time, it feels like you wake up every morning on a Monday and the ship has taken another cannonball to the stern. And how many more can it take? I guess they can go forever because it's making a lot of money and they can just batten down the hatches, forgive the pun, and try to close their ears and eyes to all the negative attention. But Magic's not going to close his eyes and ears to the negative attention. He's going to go try
can't to afford to.
He's going to go defend himself.
It just goes to show you why Frank McCourt was trying to string that out for the TV deal. Because he knew as soon as he signed that, it was over. He won. No one would ever be able to take it away from him, and he would shower in cash. And that's why
the billion-dollar TV deal.
That's what the Lakers have.
Major League Baseball pushed him out.
Before, they would not allow Fox to do that deal.
Before
anyone else could get in there.
Because they didn't want Frank McCourt owning a team. Now, obviously, basketball can't tell the Buss family that they can't own a team. The success of the NBA is largely based on the success of the Lakers over the years, so it's just not going to happen. You can't force these people to sell, no matter how dysfunctional they appear to be. But it is amazing, after having done this for a long time and covering so much success and growing up in town and watching the success unfold, every Monday you wake up and it's like somebody toilet papered your house all over again if you're the Lakers. It's like, son of a bitch.
Baxter got his swings in. Namath got him in last week. I can only assume Howard back at Bleacher Report is coming with something a week from yesterday. This coming Monday, be on the lookout for Howard Beck, Bleacher Report, and his long-form piece. And it'll probably, since he lives in New York and was on the Knicks beat for a while, there'll probably be some Knicks-Jimmy Dolan parallels there. That would be my... If we're playing the Deadpool, you know, who's
going to write the next excoriating piece?
Who's going to kick that corpse next week? I'd go Beck.
Howard Beck? He's lined up to do it. Amick's reloading. He's got his stick in the can, and he's trying to push he's got to get the ammo back in because he already blew his wad.
Exactly. It takes a while.
Yeah, it takes a while to reset.
You got to pack that powder.
What a Lazen be doing it? Nah, he's up in the hills teaching
people. Yeah, he's probably working on a book. Now, he'll write the book about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. Wojcie might have something cooking.
I need it.
We'll be right back.
Maybe it's going to be Ryder. Wouldn't that be great?
That's what I'll miss. We'll be right back with David Vasse talking about Cody Bellinger, and he's so hot.
Looks like Dave stuck in the middle of something out of Dodger Stadium for the pregame show, so we will catch up with him after the top of the hour. Vasse from Dodger Stadium. Dodgers v. Mets tonight. Rich Hill on the mound versus Steven Matz. the Mets. Clayton Kershaw got his fifth win last night. They will weigh in. And then A, Cody Bellinger. Can you believe fans at Dodger Stadium are chanting MVP for Cody Bellinger?
We're going to ask him that. That's a good question. You hang on to that.
Man, what was that like, Dave, hearing fans at a home stadium for a guy that's hitting nearly 400 and has like 20 home runs? Can you believe they were chanting MVP for him?
Crazy. Yes, Kate.
It's a big night tonight. It's a debut of young Will Smith, the Dodger rookie catcher.
Is he a Scientologist?
No, it's not the guy from that.
The Blue Genie.
Seems a little old. I mean, I know he's riding a high on that.
His son was a
$90 million.
Overhyped wide receiver at Oaks Christian. Really sucked.
Pretty sure this is a different one who's a Dodger catcher who we've been talking about on the Farm Report for the last year and a half.
Oh, Farm Report guy.
Yeah, he got called up.
Oh, named after
Austin
Will Smith.
Barnes hurt his groin.
Why'd you grab your junk when you did
I'm just
that?
Trying to demonstrate.
Show you where the groin.
Man, that's how messed up Cates' junk is. He's grabbing it all the way like halfway down his left leg. It's a messed up junk, man.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So is Will Smith going to get the start?
He's starting tonight behind the plate catching Rich Hill.
Whew. Russell Martin interview with David Vassay, and he is pissed. The 6th annual PMS Chevy Summer Tour is back. First stop's on Thursday at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. If you're not there, you're an a-hole. And now it's time.
For the word of the day.
That's right.
Come on! Word of the day.
Hit me with his words!
Is our machine really broken?
It's the board that Ronnie runs.
It's not necessarily the board. It's the wires that run through.
See, Ronnie's going to check you, Matt. Don't you like being checked like that?
It's broke.
Don't you like?
That's the deal. It's broke.
It's I hit
the
button.
It is currently inoperable,
it's
yes.
It's broke.
Currently inoperable,
that's
Matt.
That's why we got
to
do...
That's the cool way to say it.
There's a word of the day. Hey, hit me with his words.
Today's word is Mama's Fallen Angel. Who knew that Mama's Fallen Angel...
Better fire that ass up over there in the other studio.
...was going to be an Olympian. London Times. Pole dancing is on its way to becoming an Olympic sport. And no, I am not kidding.
That'll get the people to tune in.
As the article that I read detailed very well, some of these sports were rooted in ancient Greece, like the javelin
and pole dancing.
Discus. Pole dancing rooted in the strip club boom of the 80s, which is also very true. The Global Association of International Sports Federations confirmed that pole dancing now has the coveted observer status. The IPSF, the International Pole Dancing Federation, which according to the people that follow this, now has a clear path
to inclusion. Come on.
Full recognition in a decade, which means, Matt, the first Olympics that would feature pole dancing as a sport that a person could be an Olympic medalist.
Right around 7-8 years from now.
Like, it's one thing to get a medal for skiing a distance, picking up a gun, shooting something, and then skiing away. Okay, I get it.
Not every country on earth can do that.
I get it.
They say, okay, it's limited by biathlon.
In our proud city, in 2028, we will have pole dancing. So fire up. I mean, we got...
Oh, they're jockeying. The Body Shop.
Oh, Bare Elegance.
That whole... Oh.
Girl Talk on La Brea.
Look out.
The Seventh Veil. They're all in, Matt. The Lay.
Tropical Lay.
They're all in, Matt. What is that? Bob's Classy Lady? What's a Frank's Classy Lady? What's that one called?
Nude.
Nudes at the airport. Hey, we're airport adjacent.
Nudes.
Firing up a venue. Let's do this. Jocelyn from The Challenge is going to be the host, I think. NBC's going to fire her.
If you're going to do it. I want it.
They're
Jumbo's Clown Room style. I want the stripper to put the money into the jukebox, make her selection, and then walk on the stage as it's about to start.
What if the judges are just getting lap danced? Just huge boners on those judges. And they come in sweats, and you're like, no sweats for the judges.
Not a bad idea. Track pants.
Why are your pants so soft, judge from Czechoslovakia?
Are you wearing underpants? Of course not. Well, the hell would I wear underpants here? I got track pants on.
Guys, we got a great judge. We got the masseuse from Czech Massage on Pornhub. And he is going to... pole dancing. Remember when we lost baseball?
And we lost softball, right? Yeah. I think we lost softball. We lost baseball.
Can't play baseball. That's
too
weird.
But you can break dance. But men are now going to break dance and women are going to pole dance. Am I missing something? Is like pole dancing, is that?
That is rubbing your sexual organs around a pole. I mean, is it very different from rhythmic gymnastics where you go out there and juggle literally two balls?
No, the ribbon.
Look at her juggling those balls.
hey, Pops, kind of hungry. Can we go out to eat? Not tonight, son. It's pole dancing night in the Olympics.
Right?
And we're staying home to watch it in primetime.
What's the guy that's down on the field doing all the interviews that we used to love?
Bob Neumeier.
Yeah, let's get down to Bob Neumeier. So it seemed like you were really able to grip the pole with your muscular and very sensual inner thighs there while you were able to stick out your pronounced fake boobs.
Yeah, you know what, Bob?
It's funny, you were upside down, but your boobs were pointing. Still, they were pointing to the north.
For me, it was all about using my cleavage to split that pole. That's what it was.
Well, you got three of the judges with boners. Congratulations. That is a three boner.
It's a real dream come true, Bob.
Three boners means gold.
No, I'm lightheaded.
Will they allow fake boobs into the competition? It's like a performance
enhancing. Wait a minute. If they let a dude that used to be a dude be a girl in the weightlifting stuff and break all the records, you have to let somebody in with fake boobs.
Certainly.
You
no
have
question.
To.
Maybe
no
like,
question.
Maybe like a fake boob, real boob.
Nah. Hey.
It's classification.
You feel like it's going to help you, go get it done. Go on. Go get yourself some plastic bags.
Right. There might be an asterisk.
Could be.
Like, oh, she's bagged. That's what they call it.
Oh, it's going to be like the
when the horses like the are drugged up?
Like the East German swimmers of the
80s. Yeah. The albatross. Well, maybe they could have like a category for like a... Well, like Pornhub, you know, they could have a BBW category.
Do that.
They could have a natural category. They could have a MILF kind of thing going on.
Lady Garden.
Well, I think everybody's going to be clothed. I don't think
Are
they're
you
doing
sure?
it naked. No. I am not sure.
Dave Bassay, your number and song of the day when we return, and a Bachelorette report next hour.
Why is it got to be about touching yourself?